Tā kāsā ngā dhō, ātā chāpa chīmbi kī chī ñamlī jēpā dhā, ānā dāngbō, ānā kūnlō ngī tōgō, ān chāngshū sēm, ñamlī jē khō rēs chāngshū sēm. Tā chā chāngshū sēm, sēm jē thām jī gyō dhīndō sāngyō kōpā tōpā rō shō sēyā dhī, tā chāngshū sēm jē dhī dāngbō, jām nī jī kōm, rāsāṁ nāṁ dhā kōm pā lē tēnē, sēm jē thām jī kūyō dhūngā lē chāyā chī, yā sāngyē sālā ngī kūgī yīn sē bī rāsāṁ nāṁ dhā kī tēnē, ngē sēm jē thām jī sāngyō kōpā tōpā chī o sēm bē chāyō sēm jū lā kī hē chāyā chī. Tā tēnē kē chāyō sēm jī wē tō nē dā, nē ngā dhū kār chī wā sāngyē kōpā tōpā chī rū, nē kār chī wā sē nē, nē pā chīn dhū kī nyam nē jī kū kū rē sē. Tī sā pā chīn dhū kī nyam nē jī kī sīng, tā jīn bē nyam nē jī hē dā sū bē nyam nē. ān tū shī nē kāsā jīmbē nyam lē nā tūrīm nyam lē nī tī mā tū kēsīng shū sā shē.
Good morning. So last time we were looking at that when one practices the Mahayana Dharma, one does so primarily motivated by bodhicitta. And bodhicitta is the determination to strive for and achieve enlightenment for the sake of others. And this, the mind of enlightenment, bodhicitta, arises in dependence on the prior generation of the altruistic attitude of universal responsibility, whereby one takes as one's own personal, individual responsibility to alleviate suffering from all beings without exception. Having generated bodhicitta, then one needs to engage in the actual practices of bodhisattvas in order to achieve their desired goal, Buddhahood. And those practices are the six perfections. And of the six, we looked last time at the first two, that of generosity and ethical restraint. We'll start immediately then looking at the third of the six, and that is the perfection of patience. And the presentation starts with the benefits or the qualities of patience. Patience is the finest ornament of the mighty. It is the greatest fortitude counteracting the agonies of the afflictions. Against its enemy, the snake of hatred, it is a Garuda soaring in the sky. Against the weapon of harsh words, it is the strongest armor. Knowing this, you should habituate yourself with the armor of supreme patience by all means possible. I, a yogi, have practiced in this manner. You, who aspire for liberation, should do likewise. So let's start by looking at what are the benefits of cultivating the mind of patience and the faults of not doing so.
Sang da, cha da, dine yang ju, ngui zumba da, dine suye jen mongu yorwa. 지나디니 이문지교로
Looking at the first line, patience is the finest ornament of the mighty. Mighty then refers to those who have a powerful wish to cultivate the minds of the Mahayana Dharma within them for the sake of others. And this wish is a dominant attitude of theirs, that they want to cultivate the various qualities of the Mahayana Dharma in order to be of great benefit to others. And this is the meaning of the term mighty. And the ornaments, well, we know in the world there's a wide variety of ornaments. Some are imitation and cheap and of no value. They may be a little bit sparkling, but they really have no value. Others, such as diamonds and other jewels, are held to have great value. But amongst the wide variety of ornaments, that which ornaments the qualities of the mighty is the ornament of patience. And this is because it is a supreme patience, or a finest ornament for cultivating the goals for oneself and others, for enabling one's spiritual progress in order to be of ever greater benefit for others. Hence, this ornament of patience is the finest for those who are the mighty, those who are striving for enlightenment for the sake of others.
That's everybody. That the nigger to the lake and you chore his at each choring big, Jim Zero's career lamna, to when the dang on to get Chickishanlia, Sosugi, Chin Yamleche, Yamleche with Kiju to Venada, Chishanlia, Pember to Chi, Pember to Yodu, no, to get. だ、先来銀行の給与者の先来ペンバルで給与者を、チャワチワ、先来ペンバルで、デボクの夜ペンベ3倍夜、そそ、ケワチャ、デンバ、デニュ、デンバ、ケワで、3時間根性や、デバで、一時に、やめ事故るわ、だ、ケワも不思議ごろわ。いいね、だ、先来ロボだ、先来ペンバルで、ケブラ。んでりゃ、先時、あの時、能力がばってんばだ、先時、チェバイな、まず、ニューバルニュ、チコンとサバイな。 다
随便的给简单完了干啥子就把那些点的随便控图吧，那说是来先马出发些，先学习去对图过来些了哇。但说是让那个给予人们这，其实这样子接接完这个了，让这个了呀，说不过来看哈，他先不过来看哈，他人们就把马性别干啥，先不许苗的，让这先马就不利用了哇。其实这里随便控吧，那随便控吧，那人那个随便控有的，人那个刚刚开始拆完呢，先来马就把没把先学习些才过来，其实随便些的，根据确认些的，开始随便人们拆完呢，让给给就开始那先去拖呢，牛毛接呢，让了刚刚拆完的，让给拖呢，刚刚有个的用不呢，随便控图吧，那俺先来些的，这里是得马出发就学习些去对图过来些哇的，其实根据确认些的。
To further expand why the ornament of patience is the finest of ornaments for those who are striving to cultivate the Mahayana Dharma within themselves, those who are referred to here as the mighty. is because it aids oneself and others. The practice of patience aids oneself and others in that when one is engaging, for example, in the cultivation of virtue, whether one is directly interacting with others or when one is not explicitly interacting with others, but for their sake, one is accumulating virtue, eliminating afflictions and so forth. The presence of this finest of ornaments, the mind of patience, ensures that one is not overcome by the obstacles that one does encounter. Because we know from our own experience that we do encounter many obstacles in the cultivation of virtue, in our endeavors to be of benefit for others. Vast, vast stores of merit need to be accumulated in order to become a Buddha. And this takes a protracted period of time. And over this period of time, one encounters so many obstacles. However, to the extent that one has cultivated patience, as one encounters these obstacles, whether they're coming from others we encounter, or they're arising in terms of, or from our own inner turmoil, our patience will ensure that our motivation isn't weakened. Our practice of patience will ensure that we do not become dispirited, feeling that it's too difficult. But rather, we'll know, or through practicing patience, the obstacles we encounter will not really even be experienced as such, in that they will not harm our motivation, they will not impede our development. So for example, if the difficulties one has with receiving teachings and reading on the teachings and then meditating on the teachings, these difficulties that we do experience, life can seem very busy, we have many priorities, these can overwhelm us, feeling that, oh, it's too difficult, I can't do this now. Patience helps prevent that attitude of it is too difficult from dominating, from overcoming us. Likewise, when engaged in activities directly to be of benefit to others, often they may show an attitude of ingratitude and so forth. Patience will prevent the arisal of anger. Patience will prevent the arisal of annoyance and frustration. So in brief, all the difficulties that one does encounter whilst trying to cultivate, whilst trying to change our minds, transform our way of thinking, patience ensures that those obstacles do not overwhelm us, and in fact, that our motivation doesn't even weaken. So therefore, this ornament of patience is the finest of ornaments.
Mm-hmm. Nyamo dhuvi kathu kunyi pūrūs. Chisata nga tu nyamo dhuvi kathu kunyi pūrūs iti, ta nyamo bhi wangi, ta nga rāzulia dhuwa sena nyamo bhi wangi nga rāzulia dhuwa naso nyoyati sikruwa, nyoyo dhuis. Chisata pene, ta dhiji sheba nashi, shihengi kongrasa, shihengi kongchukyi nga rāzulia tsiksup sheya ta, shihengi nga rāzulia namgyu dhuksha tenpas nyamo.
Then you
세보 곰 마두드나 나즈 산이 쳇 대바 여바 이나야 쳇지 얘기 듬버 여바 대바 여바 현나 판비 삼바 여바 이나야 신이 뇽모 보지 녀바 지여도 소소 세보 곰 마두드나 파콘라야다 지치마도 디 대바 여 대바 디기 콘로디 까투 마르와 지나디 세보 곰나 디 까야래야 안 푸드 중화데 초도 유바레 에세 까도 푸드 촉세데 데네기 Yomombo on the Dumayala, Serbocombaina, Duma de Manoyala, Soso Hulu to Tuadi, and the Chotu Cubares, Serva de Chotu Cubares.
Looking at the next line, patience is the greatest fortitude counteracting the agonies of the afflictions. So this then refers to when we are, for example, interacting with others. And they may respond to us in an unwanted manner. They may be angry towards us. They may speak harshly towards us, look down on us, criticize us, belittle us. So in these situations, we know too well from experience that all too often, we respond in kind. And if we don't verbally or physically respond in kind, mentally we may be upset. Mentally we may become dispirited. Weak, our mind becomes dispirited, lose its strength and energy. So in those circumstances, should we respond in a similar manner to how we've been spoken to? Already we are unhappy, and through the response, we compound the unhappiness of the other person. And when we do that, as a person who aspires to the paths of the Mahayana Dharma, who aspires to be of real meaningful benefit to others, when we see that we again have become afflicted, we again have acted in a way that brings harm to others, our motivation to benefit others is harmed. Our aspiration to spiritually transform ourselves to be of great benefit to others can be harmed. On the other hand though, if one has trained successfully over a sustained period in patience, when those same words are said to you, coming from the same motivation, the same facial expression, the same unwanted behavior towards one, patience will naturally arise within one, independence on extensive prior training, and therefore one's mind stays undisturbed in the face of this adversity, and with a mind that now is remaining spacious, calm, and open, one is able to respond skillfully. And one can respond skillfully because the afflictions are not arising. Therefore, instead of responding in the habitual afflicted way, where one just creates negative karma as well as bringing harm to others, one now is able to respond skillfully, benefiting the other, and creating virtue. Completely the opposite. So, no matter how strong one's faith is in the Buddha Dharma, no matter how strong one's aspiration is to spiritually develop and be of meaningful benefit in the lives of others, without patience, we'll struggle to progress because we do encounter obstacle after obstacle. And moreover, through encountering obstacles and being overwhelmed by them, our aspiration, we will not be able to fulfill our aspiration. And therefore, our aspiration, our motivation may well be harmed.
Then you give Shum Kanga Dini, Chick, that Dini Kanga Lidu Kabla, dini sweba nyamni cha gore jirwa, sweba kumba ina, oda dini jishyan la pando chidu, roba chidu, kanga yungure gidi na yungure de kanga mayang yomba ina da, kanga la tohlin jiwa ina jigure sibi, dini kanga yomba la kaya yomba, shen la pambo tuwa la, dan rangi chwe nyamni cha wala kanga katze yuwa ina, ni kanga jigin, di kanga chiwa ina, dan da chimbo res, nini ranga na shen niga la pingu ores, dini ki samta sweba kumba ina, dini ki kanga dike sem shumba diya ma, an chik,
When we think about the practice of patience, when we think about the need for cultivating patience, there are a few situations, types of situations, where we have to rely on patience. So this would be, firstly, where we encounter obstacles in our interactions with others, whether directly or indirectly. As was just mentioned, when people speak to us in a harsh manner, or they criticize us, they belittle us, when we encounter situations like that, patience is crucial. A second area where patience is imperative is not when we directly or indirectly interacting with others, but we engaging in the Dharma practice, and we encountering obstacles in the accumulation of virtue. So here we have our own inner turmoil. The cause of the potential arisal of the afflictions is not from someone external to us, but our own inner turmoil, because we may be sitting in teachings or sitting in our room or engaging in some virtuous activity, and we're having our own inner turmoil, and this is disturbing us. So in both of these situations, we are in danger. Our accumulation of virtue is in danger. And certainly we are in danger of accumulating non-virtue, further obstacles to our spiritual development. Moreover, we may well, especially as one does encounter many problems and difficulties in life, we start to become dispirited, weak-minded. And here there's a danger of giving up in our spiritual training, or at the very least postponing it. It's too difficult for me now, I'm not ready now, my life is too busy. Postponing it, finding excuses to do so. Or of course giving up as well. Moreover, this can harm how we view ourselves, thinking, I am no good. This is too difficult for me. These are practices when accumulating virtue, training my mind is too difficult for me. I am not up to this. That is a completely wrong way to think, because we all have the ability to train our minds in the way that the Dharma presents, transform who we are, and fulfill our potential. Fulfill our potential. And a key component to being able to do so is the practice of patience. Because to the extent that we've trained well in this practice of patience, our mind will be undisturbed in the face of adversity, whether the adversity is coming from others or our own inner turmoil. We will understand that in samsara, one encounters unwanted situations all the time. This is to be expected. There's nothing surprising about our own inner turmoil or experiencing unwanted communication or interactions from others. There's nothing to be surprised about. This is how it is in samsara. Accompanying this acceptance is a mind of great strength that recognizes the great benefit that comes from transforming the situation and not being overwhelmed. Merely not being overwhelmed by the situation has benefits, but transforming it, using it to strengthen our resolve ever stronger, this has great benefit. So one recognizes, firstly, that in samsara we encounter problems. Secondly, that by transforming these difficulties, looking at the same situation in a different way, gives us great strength of mind and enables us to accumulate vast stores of virtue and to be of ever greater benefit to others. So what we see here is through developing this attitude of patience, this mind that stays undisturbed in the face of adversity, one willingly takes on suffering, problems, and obstacles because one understands that one encounters these situations in samsara. That's not surprising. Moreover, there's great benefit for oneself and others through our successful transforming these situations. And we transform them by how we look at them. We don't allow our mind to dwell on the difficulties. So when we're in a difficult situation, an unwanted situation, we don't allow our mind to dwell on that negative aspect. Rather, we focus on the potential that can come from the same situation. So what we are doing is relating to our own inner turmoil or to our encounters with others in a completely different manner. And this is due to the practice of patience. Again, no matter how strong one's faith is, no matter how strong one's desire is to have a great impact in the lives of others, if one isn't skilled in patience, that faith, that desire, that ambition will not be strong enough to overcome these obstacles. But patience doesn't only allow us to overcome them or enable us to overcome them, but actually to transform them. So hence, patience is a crucial practice. The third line, against its enemy, the snake of hatred, it is a Garuda soaring in the sky. Yep, the term we have as hatred, we understand as anger, how we usually translate it, it's the same Tibetan word. So hatred or anger is a great enemy for all beings. because it leads only to the accumulation of non-virtue, harms oneself and is likely to harm others and will harm others whenever it's expressed. So therefore, anger is likened to a snake, an enemy. And the reason it's likened to a snake is in this simile, a Garuda is likened, the practice of patience is likened to a Garuda, a mythical bird that kills snakes. So here, the mythical bird of a Garuda that kills snakes is likened to the practice of patience that completely overwhelms and eradicates anger. The meaning of this analogy is as one trains ever more in patience, anger will struggle to arise. Anger will arise less and less frequently, and when it does, it will merely show itself and it will dissipate due to the habituation with patience. This ensures that the practitioner's mind stays open and spacious, hence the likening in the verse to a soaring in the sky. The mind of the practitioner stays open and spacious like a clear sky. Moreover, due to the mind not being afflicted, but rather virtue arising, they're able to respond to others in a skillful manner, easing their burden, easing their suffering. Moreover, huge stores of virtue are accumulated. And this is all due to the presence of patience. The successful training in patience protects oneself, protects others, leads to the accumulation of virtue and our ongoing spiritual development, and our mind remaining virtuous, spacious, and free from the arisal of powerful afflictions such as anger. The fourth line, against the weapon of harsh words, it is the strongest armor. So here we draw to mind pictures of knights from days gone by. The mind, that is the mind of patience, serves as our armor, protecting our mind from the accumulation of non-virtue in the face of any danger, whether it's someone we encounter or whether it's our own inner turmoil. So the verse is explicitly referring to when we encounter others, because when others speak to us in a harsh way, or they criticize us, or they speak divisively about us, this disturbs us so. And we can hold on to this with resentment going around in our head again and again for hours, sometimes days, sometimes even months, always remembering what has been said. Patience, on the other hand, will ensure that those words do not penetrate us. Moreover, no matter the strength of viciousness with which someone speaks to us, it will not penetrate, it will not harm us. Rather, we will be able to respond to them in a helpful manner, in a manner to diffuse the situation. And this is such an important training, because right now, even if we see someone showing an unpleasant facial expression towards us, this alone can disturb us, let alone the speech that may follow. But if we practice patience, our mind will stay undisturbed and we'll accumulate huge virtue in those same situations, all from relating to the same situation in a completely different manner. Someone who's skilled in patience will understand themselves well. They'll understand their inner workings of their minds well, and thereby be able to understand others too. And this means when others treat one in an unwanted manner, criticize, deprecate one, scold one, speak in a harsh manner or badly about one behind one's back. Someone who's skilled in patience will understand that person right now is afflicted. Anger has arisen, or attachment has arisen, or ignorance has arisen within them. They are afflicted and they are suffering. And those afflictions are present in their continuum. The person then who's skilled in this training will know that what harms them, the practitioner, is not the minds in the continuum of another, not the expression of those minds through, for example, speech. What harms oneself is the arisal of one's own afflictions. Knowing this, the practitioner of patience will ensure their mind stays calm and spacious so that the afflictions don't arise. And being skilled in this, their afflictions don't arise, their mind stays wide and spacious. And this alone leads to accumulation of virtue. Moreover, they will have a strong appreciation for the suffering being before them. In this way, compassion arises, and ever more virtue is accumulated. Moreover, seeing how differently they are responding in these situations, from before, will add to the great strength of mind, knowing that they are progressing well, knowing that they can transform difficult situations, taking on the suffering of others, without being overwhelmed, without having one's good motivation, one's pure motivation, be overwhelmed. This is how a skilled practitioner of patience deals with these situations. Someone, though, who has not yet made good progress in the practice of patience, merely from an unwanted facial expression from others, and certainly in dependence on their words, such really insignificant obstacles such as these will overwhelm them. Overwhelm them in the sense that immediately they too become afflicted. And now you have two afflicted beings facing off. Moreover, the arisal of anger leads to the accumulation of non-virtue, as well as the destruction of previously accumulated non-virtue. So not only is this person now unhappy, but they're accumulating non-virtue and destroying previously accumulated virtue. And then resulting from this, they may well think, oh, practicing the Dharma is so difficult, I'm not up to it, this is too hard for me, I can't do this, I am not good enough. This is a wrong way of thinking, completely mistaken, because we all have the capacity, the ability to become skilled in patience and achieve a desired result, all from looking at the same situation in a completely different way, in a skillful way. Bearing in mind the context that we're in here, that we're talking about a practitioner who's made the determination to become a Buddha for the sake of others, such a being has already developed a powerful attitude and has a mind that is vast and expansive. So their outlook is far-sighted, and their mind is wide and expansive. So such a person is what is referred to in the first line as mighty, because of the goal that they're striving for, as well as the breadth of their outlook. So for them, in order to accumulate vast stores of virtue and be of true lasting benefits to others, patience is not only the finest ornament, but it is an indispensable one too.
And 아니 세보 콤바이네 시행레 동아 마테바 샹기 동아 샘디기 시투바 두스인 김제 아직 두스인 김제 먹보 삼다 제디니 제세바 남기 아니 세베 냠린 두스난 거래제레
Verse 28. Knowing this, you should habituate yourself with the armor of supreme patience by all means possible. Having come to understand clearly the benefits of patience, in fact, how crucial the practice of patience is in order to be able to spiritually develop, in order to be of great benefit to others and achieve one's goal, patience is a crucial training that the bodhisattva as well as aspirant bodhisattva engages in. So they do this by whatever means possible, which means through utilizing a wide variety of reasonings, again and again looking at the many reasons why patience is a crucial skill to train in, thinking that in order to benefit others, I have to cultivate a mind of patience. In order for myself not to be harmed, I need to generate the mind of patience. In order to ensure I don't destroy past stores of virtue, in order to ensure that I accumulate virtue, in order to ensure that I can right now be of benefit to others, as well as through my spiritual development, be of ever greater benefit to others in the future, I have to develop patience. So thinking like this, with a mind that is both profound as well as expansive, using many reasonings, the bodhisattva and the aspirant bodhisattva makes great endeavor to cultivate the mind of patience, always relying on the mind of patience. Jaya Rinpoche exhorts us at the end of this verse by saying, I, a yogi, have practiced in this manner. You who aspire for liberation should do likewise. So Lama Tsongkhapa followed the example of all those who have attained enlightenment and all those who are training in the minds of bodhicitta, those on the paths of the Mahayana Dharma, trained in patience through understanding that it is indispensable in order to spiritually develop oneself, in order to be of benefit to others right now, as well as to be of ever greater benefit to others in the long term. So therefore, in order to ensure that one is not overcome by anger or any of the myriad afflictions, please train in patience. All of you who have given rise to a wish to live a life of great meaning, reflect on the many benefits of training in patience, the great faults that will befall one should one not do so, and then make great endeavor to cultivate the mind of patience within yourself.
Come to Eddie, Galekabo Chagra, Yan Chisu, and give him Nemlaj, the Kanga, Tayo, Yan Suvi, Nemlaj, Tayo, come to Eddie, Yan Zulia, just Galekabo Chagra, Chandor Mebata. 소소로 막아위 뇨모 원게 소소로 뇌베게 되는 체베인데 네 파세 맞추버체 세보콤 투버지기스 세보콤기스 안델야 샘투버체네 소소로 콩라랑 안 파레 직스스부체 두제세 되네 괜찮아 먹버체네 라신니가라 강아 먹버치게 대장이 세보콤기인다 샘베게 녀레나 거 세보콤기 세비 꼼시 되네 샘네 아 장도체 아니 미지게 되네 지나오 직셰베네 카르네 따 파 콩르마르 세보콤기세야다 다소수기다 냠낸 제베이네 나 가브리엘이야 아니 지수부게 강아 체제다 제마토바 셈슈미아요 시그레 가브리엘이야 소수기 아니 마싱베 겐진아 아직 양지 셈슈미아 뽑아 차야 되네 요 시그레 되네 바 디가블이야 미스베 검 투시기 되네게 세바 세세데 셈 델이야 되네 강아레도 델이야 강아야 마삼바지 때 강아레셔 배 강아레셔레서 양내양도 섬다와나 소수기 셈 투투고로와 Dini kanga leo de telia, de kago shama sambeke, di kanga masambachi shashava, de seva sigurwa, jiza telia, jiza dini jinza. That lochon jidu kapla, lamsang ishing tuma, mashiwa kanga yungrede, kanga yungadi jidin dumlina, chun yere, lagas leda kanga legre, jiza dini telia sem shungu yoma tanga, dini sem shungu mea sambeke, undusianga yelena ya, jangdur chevaina, and dinigi, de cheyu de kapla, kanga chidu kapla. Dini ko lamsa oda di inda sembiki lamsa di sebo kum tuya ki chabra tanda yungurwa. Dini zanga zu nye lene, dini ki kanga mati nye lene ngu chik jangdor chaya semliya, jangdor chaya li kichimu chakwara sebo kum gui dini chiki meya sembiki. Andi dini ki chayu di kabla ni sebo kum ya. Andi da chiki diki sebo kum matu uru tuku meya bayana, andi garchi uru samda oda di dini lamna, andi paa kong lana, andi kolaya kanga di ngara kanga. Rāshīn yīgāla mācīvā chāgīdhuvā sāmbhīgī ān dēnī kī kīmzēn māgbō sāmbhā jēnī sūpā kūm ān sāmbhā ngāyādī kēchī mācā kārvā
It's important to recognize that in the face of adversity, whether it's one's own inner turmoil or inner turmoil, or when we encounter someone and they perhaps speaking to us in an abusive manner, it is difficult in the face of such adversity to practice patience unless one has already trained well in patience. So this is an important point to recognize. Because, firstly, it should serve to encourage us to utilize our favorable circumstances to read about patience, reflect on its meaning, meditate on it, cultivate it in this way within ourselves. And secondly, when we do encounter hostile, unwanted circumstances, and we do struggle to be patient, to accept that, to be patient with that too, knowing that it doesn't come easily. We need to transform our way of thinking, and that takes sustained effort over a protracted period of time. So therefore, we need to persevere with this, not expecting a result to come immediately. So we start out by, in the same way as you've been doing in this class already, thinking about the faults that you yourself have experienced from responding to difficult circumstances in an afflicted way. Think about the faults that come to oneself as well as to others through responding in an afflicted way. Secondly, think about the great benefits that come for yourself and others by responding in a skillful manner, by having one's mind stay calm and spacious and undisturbed despite the person and the situation one has encountered or despite our own inner turmoil. This we need to reflect on again and again because it encourages us to continue to do these meditations and to start to develop new habits, new ways of relating to the same situations. Moreover, when we think about the practice of patience, we tend to mainly think about when we're encountering others, but also think about the practice of patience in terms of overcoming the inner obstacles to cultivating the minds of the Dharma within oneself. Because when I'm sure all of you are watching, you have the wish to cultivate all the minds of the Dharma within you, but you know this is difficult. And here we need to be patient with this difficulty. We need to accept that it is difficult to understand a new Dharma topic, something that is quite technical, perhaps seems quite abstract, something that is new to us. This is not surprising. That is the way it is in the world. To learn something new requires effort over a sustained period. Likewise, trying to change our mind, transform our way of thinking, this too doesn't come about easily. We have lifetimes of habits to transform. So therefore, start off by reflecting on the faults of not having patience, the benefits of having it, and then accepting that we will continue, as long as we are samsaric beings, to experience unwanted situations, problems, difficulties and obstacles, such as with our inner development. And therefore, not to be surprised by this. This is par for the course. Everything that's worthwhile, everything that's rare, that of great meaning, comes about with effort. All the skills we've developed in this life have come about with effort. They haven't naturally or come about easily without needing to try. So this is realistic. Remind yourself of this. This gives you strength of mind, but remind yourself of this repeatedly. And then, in the meditation then, reflect on situations that you've encountered that have been difficult, where you have responded in an afflicted way. See the faults of that and think, how could I have responded? How could I have kept my mind spacious and calm in that circumstance? And this is important because these are experiences we have where we haven't utilized that situation well, where it has overwhelmed us, overcome us, our afflictions arose. And we will encounter them again. So let's role play, let's train our mind so that we can be skilled when we meet them again. And when you think ahead of the day, when you think about the day ahead, and you know you may well have a few difficult circumstances, role play those now. What may I encounter? How do I keep my mind genuinely calm and spacious in the face of that adversity? And in this way, one gains ever greater experience and skill, and then reflect on how you've done. Utilize that to notice where you are doing better, and where you can do better, take that as positive. You have seen where you can develop further. In this way, you keep adding to your strength of mind and your enthusiasm. And if you do this, you can be sure that transformation will come.
In the meditation, you're reflecting on the benefits of patience, the faults of not being patient. You're then secondly reflecting on that encountering difficulties and obstacles is to be expected. And then thirdly,
when you embark on the role playing situation, seeing how you can respond more skillfully. Here in this section, start with those with whom you interact the most, in particular those with whom you live. Focus on the situations where you've had difficulties there, as well as the difficult situations you're likely to encounter with them. And thereafter, train in perhaps your work colleagues or your clients, those whom you also meet often, but not those that you meet as often as those that you live with. And thereafter, keep expanding it further. Because the purpose of training in this way is those that we interact with the most lead to the most opportunities, the most frequent opportunities for either afflictions to arise within us or for us to respond skillfully and be of benefit to them. And we'll continue. Now we look at the next perfection, that of joyous perseverance.
Verses 29 and 30. When armor like joyous perseverance, steady and immovable, is worn, your qualities of scripture and realization increase like a waxing moon. All your conduct becomes meaningful, and all you undertake succeeds as hoped for. Knowing this, to dispel all forms of laziness, bodhisattvas apply a joyous perseverance of enormous strength. I, a yogi, have practiced in this manner. You, who aspire for liberation, should do likewise. Looking at the first line, when armor like joyous perseverance, steady and immovable, is worn. So that now we're starting to look at the need for joyous perseverance. For example, when one is engaging in a virtuous activity, whether you're directly helping others or one is accumulating virtue so that one can spiritually develop and be of ever greater benefit to others, those times, it's all too easy to have a laziness arise and overwhelm us. So rather, when we have the opportunity to engage in virtue, intentionally generate a mind of delight, a mind of joy. Joy in this opportunity that we have to accumulate virtue. Delight in this opportunity we have to accumulate the causes for happiness for ourselves as well as for others. And if we do just that, that immediately serves to counteract the potential for laziness to arise. And laziness can take many forms. It can take a form of not fulfilling the virtuous activity well, just doing it in a way so that it's done and out the way. Or it can take the form of procrastination, where we say, tomorrow, next week, next month. And the fault of not relying on joyous perseverance is that this incredible opportunity that we have achieved, this opportunity that was achieved with such difficulty and is so rare, it will be lost. Not just our lifetime, but our lifespan, but also this particular opportunity that one has to accumulate virtue, this will end. And we have this one opportunity now to use it as well as we can. And we here we generate not just the mind of perseverance, but a mind of joy, where we take delight in what we're doing, a mind that is light and joyful at what we are doing. The second aspect is that of perseverance, which means one engages in virtue continuously, not just now and then we're done, but the term perseverance has this connotation of continuity, where one continuously engages in virtue, delighting whilst doing so. So that's the meaning of joyous perseverance. In the second line, your qualities of scripture and realization increase like a waxing moon. So here in dependence on generating joyous perseverance, this mind that delights in virtue, we will seek out and embrace opportunities to accumulate virtue. For example, when there's an opportunity, like right now, to watch this teaching, great joy will arise. And the importance of this is this great joy arising in this opportunity to accumulate the causes that will lead to our transformation means we will easily overcome the obstacles that we do have to receiving teachings. Likewise, if we're struggling to establish a daily meditation practice or to have a put more time into our daily meditation practice, it's through generating this joy that we'll want to ever more so. We'll see how fortunate we are to have these opportunities. We'll want to repeatedly over a sustained period engage in ever more cultivation of virtue. In other words, in this illustration, the receiving of teachings and the reflecting on those teachings, and thereby readily overcome the obstacles that we have to do so. And through this process, as we gather more knowledge and more experience based on that knowledge, we start to feel an inner transformation coming about. And this happens as naturally as a waxing moon, because through accumulating the causes, the results come. So therefore, our qualities of scripture and realization, so our understanding and the integration of these teachings, these grow within one like a waxing moon. This too, this inner development, serves to enhance the joy, serves to enhance our wish to continue, to persevere, or to continue over a sustained period, living a life of great meaning.
ཁྱི ཕྱད མི ཁྱི ཕྱི
Third line, all your conduct becomes meaningful. So here, through cultivating joyous perseverance within oneself, one will apply oneself wholeheartedly in all aspects over a continuous period to the cultivation of virtue. One will do so through one's physical activities, our physical behavior, our verbal behavior, as well as our way of thinking. So for example, physical behavior, we'll make prostrations or offerings, and we'll do so motivated by mind or faith, motivated by the wish to accumulate virtue to be of ever greater benefit to others. And also we'll engage in verbal virtuous behavior, such as the recitation of mantras, such as Om Mani Padme Hum, recitation of one's commitments, all the while motivated by virtuous minds, again, such as faith, the wish to benefit others, and so forth. And this ensures that our conduct becomes meaningful, which itself means that our conduct creates the causes for happiness, happiness for ourselves and others.
Then, Gangzam Legi Tanam Yishin Truf Sidu. Ta Gangzam Sidu, Gangzam Legi Tanam Yishin Truf Sidu, Gangzu Kiwi Chawa, Gandhish Samba Inaya, and Zundu Yabaina, Digi Chawa Zumbe Tar. 太清楚了，太清楚了，所以说，所以说，对他的意义上嘛，那是对他主观的说法的。其实，尊重没完呢，别人按照给予教化这边的，你，差不多是这个意思，像那个给予教化过做些，嗯，对呢，对呢，但，嗯，对是呢，这个尊重教练罗来往打开来后头的，要说马来西亚读下下边那个，这些不唔止这些，不唔止，读读过嘛，是吧？
其实尊重有本呢，他对那个尊重些呢，别他对那些别要过来，生别个尊重搞啊修修本呢，他对那个人家的不咋清薄的，过好了要搞来好过来，对那个人家别要过因，甚至尊重全部有本呢，对那目的有些呢，那个个所说个地方哪些，这些不唔去拆迁些的不唔去打打住土个拆土个来些罗啊，我们别的哪些呢，就给予家话开始住个呢，你们来拆迁呢，所说个尊重有本呢，那那得了对呢，俺这个。 三八男性，你们的大大转到主用过的是，别人就给他点点给我起码他的米国王特别吃住，三大七八呢，你给叫我的，就给叫我做苗的，俺妈我把那地铁不住土过的，他把他他们这金表国王特别吃住，因为那俺就地铁不，尊重宗亲，你们这边的住土过的是，但俺就心里主观是那俺就尊重宗亲，心里你们那七八呢，尊重的君嘛七八就尊重你们列位呢，俺就心里的住土过的是，其他的呢，俺就给我叫我看的，尊重尊重的目的就要把伊呢，俺给我叫我转到大大住土过的是，他的尊重没完呢，当过尊重就尊重目的嘛就把伊把他的尊重没完拆上面呢，伢就咱们切着伢要的，现在尊重的结起没的是过是吧？
And lastly in this verse, and all you undertake succeeds as hoped for. We all have our aspirations in terms of the Dharma, goals that we wish to achieve, the person that we long to be. With joyous perseverance, we will be able to become that person. We will be able to have a meaningful impact on the lives of others. We will be able to help others ease their burden of suffering. And this is because with joyous perseverance, every virtuous activity we engage in, we will create vast stores of virtue from that activity. And not only that, we will be able to develop that activity to a state of perfection. To understand the role of joyous perseverance well, we think of how one engages in an activity where joyous perseverance is lacking. There it's seen as a task. It's seen as something we have to do. We have to get it out of the way so we can thereafter do something else that brings us joy. And that is a grave loss, a grave error in that it leads to a loss of rare and precious opportunities. So, for example, if a student has 100,000 prostrations to do, they know they need to get it done, but they lack joyous perseverance. For them, laziness will be a major impediment. Laziness may well prevent them from completing their 100,000 prostrations. Or, if they do manage to complete it, the quality of virtue that could have been accumulated will not. Rather, the quality of the virtue will be poor. And this is because of the lack of joyous perseverance, and therefore laziness, weakening the motivation, weakening the resolve. Whereas on the other hand, should joyous perseverance be continuously generated and continuously present, those 100,000 prostrations will not be overcome by, or the completion of them will not be overcome by laziness. Moreover, they will be completed well. Maximum virtue will be accumulated. The quality of one's practice will be excellent. So joyous perseverance ensures that not only do we complete our virtuous activities, but the quality of them is excellent. And so, for example, if one has the goal of liberation, one knows I have to achieve liberation. I don't want to suffer anymore. And to do so, I have to develop the wisdom realizing emptiness. And in order to do that, I have to cultivate the union of calm abiding and meditative insight. But in order to be able to cultivate concentration, I have to develop first ethical restraint, the first of the three higher trainings. With joyous perseverance present, one will look at this goal of liberation and see, I can achieve this. This is not beyond me. And every step that I need to take, I will do so. How fortunate I am to have this opportunity. How fortunate I am to have now knowledge and the opportunity to reflect on it. And I will do so continuously until I achieve my goal. And with this mind that takes delight in receiving teachings, in reading on them, and meditating on them, one will be able to guard one's mind well, restrain oneself, live an ethical life, thereby rapidly cultivate or develop the basis for developing concentration and thereafter wisdom. This is the crucial role that joyous perseverance plays in our spiritual development.
Dini ki ditarishini li lu kunsi vi lapchin tsundri kya se nam ji tsam si ji san tsundri ki yun di ni xeba cha ha kuwa chi. Chi san tsundri tsomba ina ma du ki vi cha wa lu nga ki chu ba cha sa. Ani ki vi an du na de ba cha ya ta. Ani ki vi cha wa di ki nyam len di ki ani tuya som gom su nyam len di ki dawa yang wa di ka ane kundu pe ya. Ani li lu di ki ma ji ya dini yung guwa ris. Chi san dini yin san dini ki tsundri ki nyam len cheba ina ani yun di dini xitong wa ta. Ta tsundri ma jeba chi ma chung ba ina, ani tsundri ki muti chi ma le ba ina, ani chiki kiwi chawa diki ya, ani kondi kodo mi pa wa. Ani nga chiki tuanda dangpo chawa kond tsuma ina, ani chawa di tar ma jiba, ani ni yung gore. Chi sa tsundri ma tsuba di kiwi, tsundri tsumba di yun di, dini yue ba di, ani chanji senpa nam ki 도시에 킹고 어렸을 캐는지는 저기서 만남지 같이 왔어요. 시에네 아니 레로 군세비세데 레로 세데 아주 기위 자와 냠네 야 공부 줘야라 당보 기위 자와로 고토미아디 레로디가 바시시 레로레 아데가 용서 말한가 지지 요구도 세다 되네 내 용 말서 레로 계셔 레로기 기위 자와로 고투야 돼야 레로디가 바시지 거래서 난 기위 자와도 고투네 나 だって、ダンボで、ディネージンゲワで、レロメバチェ、ニャムネジェ、コツウェイナ、ヤンゲウェイチャー、コツウェイナ、パラディリアン、レロレオデュ、ディギアン、ゲウェイチャー、タマキバチバシャシゴレス。チェザ、レロセアディン、アンズ、ダンボ、ケワラ、コツウメア、ジュバデレ、レロゲ、カゴバシチゴレ。パラネ、ケワラ、ジュー、ジェネ、ニャムネジェビュー、レロレチ、レロディウォンゲアン、チャワレ、タマキバチェ、アンマ、アンカーチェ、ディネシングレ。チェザ、ディネザ、チェザ、レロセアディ
然后就给予叫我娘们来去把事做明白的，这个这点子，那列路给卷的也通起来，那列路的半夜给断掉了，那立青，立青不，那白这个，女不青不，那嗯，军车，忙不上大街，那转着去远点的，转着嘛，总把那远点有吧，总那嘛总把那远有吧，等那上大街，等那，但，先加起嘛，先加，他们这个断掉了呀，他上有可把他了呀。
직전류마섬지기민도삼제되니기납친기전류되기하니제세전시세마도시네전류기균나전류공배연대마공반의균례로기균되기삼다시도시네는전류중국어래제. Verse 30. Knowing this,
to dispel all forms of laziness, bodhisattvas apply joyous perseverance of enormous strength. Bodhisattvas then, recognizing the essential nature or the great need for joyous perseverance, the tremendous benefits that come from cultivating it, ensure that they cultivate joyous perseverance at the outset of every activity, whether it's an activity that is solely mental or also one that is expressed physically and or verbally. They always cultivate joyous perseverance at the outset. And moreover, they keep joyous perseverance present throughout an activity until they've brought it to completion, because it's joyous perseverance that ensures that the activity will be brought to completion, whether it's a particular, whether it's a study and knowledge to be gained, whether it's the integration of that knowledge within oneself so that realizations are achieved. These all come about due to the power of joyous perseverance. It's joyous perseverance that takes the development of these qualities to perfection. And moreover, the Bodhisattva recognizes that joyous perseverance needs to be cultivated at the outset to ensure that one's motivation is strong and one's motivation is pure, and it needs to be cultivated throughout the endeavor, not only to ensure that it's completed and completed well, but so as to prevent the arisal of laziness. Because this always can happen. Bad habits can arise, whether it's a laziness of procrastination or a laziness of being attracted to activities that just waste our time, consume our life. The Bodhisattva is always on guard, always ensuring they are not deceived by their afflictions. And they do this here with the utilization of joyous perseverance. Seeing the faults of laziness, seeing the faults that laziness leads to us losing this rare and precious opportunity. They generate a joyous perseverance at the outset, ensure that it remains throughout, that they see the activity through to the end, always taking delight. Because after all, Bodhisattva knows there is nothing more important and therefore nothing more delightful than developing qualities within oneself so that they can be of benefit to others. And thereby, the Bodhisattva is able to accumulate stores of enormous
virtue. bezuji tundu tamgu ores, jisai shengyi, shengyi tundu yata, and sanji kopan toya ke pajindu yin yamlin chebala, and dustundu tamgu ores, jisai ngayi nea, anechigi tundu yu yende, kimsin, namba naso kutone, tundu yu yende samda, and le logu kyun samda, jisai le logu keba ina, and the dambo kewa jubala, bache. अन्य भार दो क्या यह कोमे कोणे कोणे पैवाले भार चे जैसा दिने इंसान गिरी जावा थर में चिंबे गुन थर चिंबे जैसा लेलो भी गुन दिने ताजे ने ये ने तो चिले ने जोड़ जोड़ बा यीं जे ना क्यों ना जोड़ में ने ने जी के दुमा थाता ले जोए चे संजो कोपन तोबिया के जोबा योबा इंसान दी अन्य संजो कोपन तोबिया
Jayarampishe then concludes with, I, a yogi, have practiced in this manner. You who aspire for liberation should do likewise. So he, just like all the Buddhas and those who are on the Bodhisattva path, they trained in seeing the grave dangers that laziness presents, that laziness prevents one from utilizing this rare and precious opportunity well, and thereby cultivated joyous perseverance. Not only cultivated, but ensured that it was maintained at all times. They recognized, Jayarampishe himself recognized the danger of laziness, that it serves as a severe impediment to one embarking on a virtuous activity. It serves as a severe impediment to one continuing in a virtuous activity. And it serves as a severe impediment to one completing each and every virtuous activity. And fourthly, it serves as a severe impediment to that virtuous activity being completed well. In other words, if one does complete something, but below one's capacity, the opportunity largely is lost because the amount of virtue and thereby benefit to others is largely lost. But a joyous perseverance present, great stores of virtue are accumulated in that same activity, and that activity which is completed through being done well and started by being embarked on with great excitement, with great joy. So therefore, Jayarampishe made great endeavors in cultivating joyous perseverance.
대로 제바인다 다 기회 자와 주별 양주게 즉 레로 전에 제용 마이바 디에 마이바 전에 내가 찾아 투슈 줘야다 기회 냠는 제 찾아 투슈 주고도 찾아 투슈 줘가나 나 기회 레로 제도 기회 냠는 맞제도 난직 제 내가 이제 제거로 와도 맞아 준 누가 맞진 근데 난 남면 게다 안 지게 이제는 네비 자와 먹고 전에 딘이 디와 사기도 하지서 레로 왕기 사바나 기회 자와 냠로 야포 마요와 아니 아니 디비 자와다 되는게 예요마 되네자 디기 아니 마저 라신이가라 강아지야 마도 민도 아니 소소 경 먹고 자기도 쓰다 되네자 레르 꾀엔 되네로 와서 레르 꾀엔 삼다 전리 기회 자와 두번에 연된 되네든 요래 섬비 삼다이도 다 연대 요바나 내려야 가와 기원 되자 가라라 세준지 레거로 와 되네기 삼다면 아주 전리 기야래야 아니 염는 제발
So important that we cultivate this mind that delights in engaging in virtue and wants to engage in virtue evermore. The way we cultivate it then is two steps in the meditation. We first reflect on the benefits of joyous perseverance, reflecting that it's having this mind that delights in virtue and only in virtue, not it's the application of joyous perseverance is only in relation to the object of virtue, not to any other object. So the great benefits of cultivating joyous perseverance is it serves to propel us to engage in activities of virtue, to seek them out and with joy and delight to engage in them. Moreover, through the continuous generation of joyous perseverance, we will continue in our virtuous activities and bring them to perfection. So not only does it encourage joyous perseverance, encourage one to engage in virtue and bring them to perfection, but then secondly, the amount of virtue that we accumulate is so much more than if we had completed the activity without joyous perseverance. We, instead of seeing it as a task, we see ourselves as supremely fortunate. So therefore, when we generate joyous perseverance, we will complete what we do, we will seek out opportunities to cultivate virtue and complete them, and accumulate vast stores of merit whilst doing so. So for example, it's been said many times that ethical restraint is crucial, it's the foundation for all good qualities. And so this restraint of our body, speech and mind, when we apply joyous perseverance to that, with great delight and ease, we will restrain our mind from coming under the influence of the afflictions, because we'll know that it's afflictions that harm us and cause us to suffer. And when we express those afflictions, we directly harm others. And moreover, due to the afflictions impeding our spiritual development, we indirectly harm others in that, due to spiritually developing so much more slowly than we have the potential to, we aren't able to have the impact on the lives of others we otherwise would have. So here, with joyous perseverance, we take delight in restraining our mind, of developing new ways of thinking, new mental habits. And generally, to take joy in the Dharma is crucial. It is so important. To the extent we take joy in the Dharma, we will overcome the obstacles we have to receiving teachings, to reflecting on those teachings, and to keeping those teachings, or the meaning of those teachings, present, manifest in our daily activities, influencing us in all our activities and encounters with others. Therefore, delight in the Dharma, joy in the Dharma, is so important. So this is the first part of the meditation, the benefits of joyous perseverance. The second part is the faults of laziness. And again, laziness takes many forms. Laziness thinking we don't have the ability to do something or achieve something that we do. The laziness of procrastination or laziness of being distracted to things of no value. This serves to consume our lives, to waste opportunities that come our way, lead us to not even recognizing opportunities to accumulate virtue, to not taking opportunities to accumulate virtue, or when we do so as a sense of obligation, as a task, and thereby either not completing them or not doing so well.
Moreover, due to being lazy and not being diligent, we will continue to be overcome by the enemy of the afflictions. We will not be able to successfully and rapidly transform our mind. So therefore, it's imperative we recognize the great importance of joyous perseverance, as well as the faults of laziness. And then, with a mind of delight, engage in virtue continuously. We don't often explicitly talk about joyous perseverance, so I want to use this opportunity to emphasize its importance. We implicitly often refer to it, but not so much directly. It's a crucial mind to develop. It's a mind that will transform how we live what remains of this life. Because what it comes down to is a mind that delights in the Dharma. A mind that delights in the Dharma. Because joyous perseverance relates solely to the object of virtue. So when we can see we have an opportunity to receive a teaching, to read a book, to reflect on its meaning, delight will arise in us. That will ensure we overcome our obstacles. Obstacles which here we express as laziness. The obstacles such as, I have so many things to do. That is an attachment to all these things that are not usually that necessary. Or the obstacle of laziness or procrastination. Moreover, there's a laziness of discouragement, where one thinks to oneself, this is too difficult, this is beyond me. And this then we can relate to the previous part of this talk, which was on patience. Being patient with the obstacles we encounter with practicing the Dharma. So here with joyous perseverance, we also apply this attitude to when we encountering obstacles. And here we know that the great beings in our world, the bodhisattvas, were once ordinary just like me. And they faced this self-same obstacle that I now am facing. And they overcame it. Therefore, I can too. I mustn't allow myself to fall under the influence of the laziness or discouragement, feeling I can't do this. I can. I am so fortunate to have this opportunity now to transform my way of thinking about this obstacle into an opportunity to overcome it. And be patient with this obstacle. Not allow myself to be overwhelmed by this affliction. And this way of thinking then enables us to overcome obstacles, to embark on journeys of virtue. And not only embark on them, but to continue them and bring them to perfection and do so well. Therefore, joyous perseverance is of such great importance.
In the world, people do generate joy in many things. They may persevere in the development of many skills. But that doesn't necessarily constitute joyous perseverance. Joyous perseverance specifically relates to virtue, to delighting in virtue. People who enjoy fishing, they delight in fishing. They will overcome the obstacles, perhaps, of bad weather, and they will persevere and enjoy themselves. That is not joyous perseverance. Likewise, people taking delight in forms of entertainment, whether it's singing or dancing, this too doesn't constitute joyous perseverance. One may persevere, one may engage in it continuously until one has developed a skill well, and one may take great delight in it. But joyous perseverance relates to virtue. Joyous perseverance only relates to virtue. The joyous perseverance then is applied only to virtue. And whether something is virtuous or not largely depends on one's motivation. So whatever your job is, or even outside of your job, whatever various activities one engages in, these mostly are not explicit Dharma activities. However, through generating a good motivation, that by engaging in whatever one's mundane work is, or household tasks, or interactions with others, by engaging this, may I bring benefit to others, may I ease their burden, may I develop good relationships with them, positive and virtuous relationships. And with this motivation, engage in this very ordinary activity, merit will be accumulated. And doing so then with delight, and doing so well, so persevering at it, will lead to a lot of merit being accumulated from something very ordinary. So it does not have to be an explicit Dharma activity for one to persevere with joy. But through a good motivation, to engaging in whatever one's everyday work is or interactions with others, virtue can be accumulated and large stores will be through applying joyous perseverance. That being said, the purpose of the Buddha Dharma is to develop our wisdom. Therefore, we must always rely on intelligence. So if a friend of ours is going fishing and the weather is particularly rotten, and you think, oh, they're going to really have a hard time out there in the boat in this bad weather, let me go and help them and be some good company and help them get their catch for the day so that they can be out of this suffering environment, this unpleasant environment, and be home quickly in the warmth. This is not accumulating virtue. And whilst one may persevere and do so, be with your friend with some delight, this is not joyous perseverance, because in order to help one being, one is harming others. This is not virtuous. Let's use our intelligence. And in these cases, we shouldn't help. And if possible, discourage them, depending on our relationship. But we shouldn't aid them at all. But in other activities, generate a virtuous motivation, joy, and continue make effort, and virtue will be accumulated, even from mundane activities. Moreover, if one were to help a fisherman, the joy that you take in helping this person accumulates virtue. You yourself are not accumulating virtue. In fact, you're accumulating non-virtue. So this morning then, we've looked at the two perfections of patience and joyous perseverance. So the meditations on them have some similarities, in that one starts out by reflecting on the great benefits of cultivating these minds and the faults of not doing so. So in terms of patience, one reflects on the great benefits that come to oneself as well as to others, both in the short term as well as the long term. And one needs to embark on the cultivation of patience now, so that when one encounters life's difficulties, when one encounters life's obstacles, one can then, independence on our training, apply our training well, and thereby ensure our mind stays undisturbed in the face of adversity. And patience is expressed in three different ways. So there's the patience of disregarding the harm from others, so having one's mind remain undisturbed whilst others are acting in a harmful manner. And secondly, the patience of willingly accepting one's inner turmoil. So this is where one's own minds are afflicted, where one's suffering in that way, but not allowing those afflictions to dominate, and rather overcoming them, keeping one's mind undisturbed. The third is patience with respect to the practice of Dharma. So when we encounter obstacles, to not allow ourselves to become dispirited or weak-minded, but to rather ensure that we persevere, that we don't allow our mind to be overcome by these obstacles in practicing the Dharma. And then in terms of joyous perseverance, again, we reflect on the great benefits that come from accumulating virtue. The faults of either not engaging in virtue or not doing so well. When we reflect on the faults of laziness, there are different kinds of laziness. So we need to look out for those. The laziness that says, we're not good enough, this is too difficult. The laziness that says, I don't have time now, tomorrow or next year. The laziness that says, I have to do all these tasks. The act of virtue can wait. So here we need to reflect on the benefits of patience and joyous perseverance and the faults of not having these developed well in us, and then engage in these meditations. So we'll finish there for this morning, and this afternoon we'll continue with the next perfection, that of concentration. So thank you very much.